This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. And I'm Lee Treelin, joined by Health and Living producer Tina Camellia. And we're taking a look back at the shows that we've done over the year. There are 365 days. We haven't done quite 365 shows, but it's still a whole ton. And we're going to be taking a look at really varied things. We're going to be talking about diet and exercise. We're going to be talking about all the different things that Dr. George has been discussing, orthopedics, kids, etc. But today we kick things off with what has captured global headlines this year, namely the diseases carried by our buzzy little friends, or enemies, really, mosquitoes.
So we started off the year with the Zika scare, but before it arrived in Malaysia, Dr. Rose Nanimuddin from the Ministry of Health came in for an update about Zika, but also a little bit about the other mosquito-borne diseases, including dengue and chikungunya. We started with a discussion around dengue, specifically the Den5 strain.
There's a new serotype for dengue, Den5. What's our stand on Den5?
Well, I think there was a press statement given by Ministry of Health that regarding the serotype Den5, more clarifications need to be made with the test. We need confirmations from the World Health Organizations, then we can declare if there's really a Den5. So at the moment, I think it needs to be further analyzed and further looked into by the researchers of is it true Den5, or they need to clarify with all the tests and the methods that they are in it.
She then was also quizzed about the dengue vaccine, which we've all been waiting for.
We also have a new dengue vaccine, which Malaysia has not taken on yet. Are we planning to?
Well, Ministry of Health in the process of analyzing it. I think this issues was also given, the answer was given by our ministers recently, that during the evaluations of the vaccines, because this vaccine's efficacy is actually varies in these four different serotypes. Mm-hmm. So the efficacies for Den1, Den3, and Den4 was good. However, for serotype 2, is only the efficacy is only 47%. Mm-hmm. So, we need more information to know, because we want to make sure that if you give the vaccines, you will get impact to reduce the cases in the country.
Yeah.
So I think there's a committee that will review it again in February. Mm-hmm. And
just to work out the cost-benefit analysis.
Yes, and they want to go into detail before we implement this to the community.
Of course, because I can imagine the take-up rate will be very, very high.
Are there many countries that actually are implementing that such vaccine at the moment?
Well, Philippines going to implement it in February. Mm-hmm. I think
which is the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, third week of February.
Oh, okay.
I think Mexico has registered the vaccines, but I think they're still in the study. So it's still in ongoing test and pilot studies in other countries.
And then, of course, the crux of the matter, Zika, particularly on the risks of microcephaly in babies born to mothers infected with the virus.
Just to come back to Zika, what is the MOH doing in terms of, working with all agencies to ensure that, this virus does not come across the border from Thailand?
Mm-hmm. And what sort of advice has been given, to general public?
The advice to general public is, as I mentioned, that if they need to go to the affected country, they need to protect themselves. For a pregnant woman, especially in the first trimester, we advise them to delay the visit to this affected country, if possible, to delay until the conditions improve in terms of Zika infections. And, of course, the most important is we need to make sure that our environment is clean. There's no breeding there's no places for the Aedes to breathe.
You know what? We literally need to declare war against Aedes mosquitoes, and Malaysians are still so lax when it comes to cleanliness and
what sort of advice would you give women who are already pregnant?
Of course, not only for the women, for everybody who has a fever and coming back from affected country, they need to go and see a doctor.
Especially women who are pregnant. So would you advise them to get it, get Zika tested if they are in their first trimester and then have a bit of flu-like symptoms?
Well, depends on the... I think at the moment, if there's no reported cases in that area, we will test for... If they have symptom, fever, high-grade fever, we will test first for dengue, because dengue is...
More common.
Can kill, you
sure.
know?
Of course.
Can kill within 2 days, 3 days. And then if it's negative, and maybe we will check for the test for Zika.
But okay, so how do we empower ourselves? I mean, we have a someone here, Lutz, who says, I have found that by spraying Shelltox on open water containers, it will kill the larva due to the off-oil film, which will eventually evaporate away to leave the water oil-free. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well,
all sorts of advice.
Well, you... To kill larva, actually, you need larvicides. Larvicides.
Oh, so there's the larvicides you can do then, yeah?
Yeah, is either Abate or BTI. We call it BTI. But I think aerosol spray does not kill larva.
Okay.
It's only kill adult mosquito.
And I think you need to look beyond your house.
Yeah.
Surroundings is your responsibility as well. Your message, we're running out of time. Your message on the Zika virus and dengue, I think the most pressing issues at the moment.
I think the prevention is the most... essentials to stop the infections for these two diseases. So we must keep our area clean. We must check our places weekly and remove all the potential breeding places, and do not litter. I think this is the continuous message that I'm giving since 2 years ago. I think environmental cleanliness is very important.
Before that, we return to the discussion on the dengue vaccine. While the ministry mulled on the efficacy of introducing the vaccine to Malaysia, we put together a roundtable with consultant obstetrician and gynecologist Dr. Milton Lam, virologist Professor Emeritus Dr. Lam Saikit, and consultant pediatrician Dr. Zulkifli Ismail. First, virologist Professor Emeritus Dr. Lam Saikit gave an overview of the research in dengue management, and consultant obstetrician and gynecologist Dr. Milton Lam gave us his take on the dengue development.
We have been working on dengue for more than 40 years now. The range of research is from epidemiology to clinical, as well as to the rapid diagnosis of the disease. Also work very closely with pediatricians in the management of dengue, severe dengue.
Okay, and this virus has 4 serotypes, Den 1 to Den 4. There is some talk about a Den 5 recently. Is that something we should be concerned about?
Dengue 1 to 4 are very stable serotypes. They do not change, unlike the RNA influenza virus. The dengue viruses are RNA viruses too, but they're relatively stable.
What does that mean? They don't mutate easily?
They do not mutate, they do not change. So that the composition of the vaccine containing all 4 serotypes should be able to protect against these 4 serotypes anywhere in the world.
Okay.
The 5th serotype has been... very scientific novelty. It was discovered in 2007 in one case, and since then it has never come back again. It has not attacked any other human patient, so therefore I do not think that it warrants much discussion at this stage.
Okay, Dr. Milton, you've been involved as an obstetrician and gynecologist, you've been a columnist, past president of the Malaysian Medical Association. What's your take on the dengue situation at the moment? A lot of us seem to think that the virus seems to be stronger, it seems to be more fatal today than it was many, many years ago. Is that something, is it real or is something else going on?
In the past 3 years, the incidence has more than trebled, so much so that you have more than 100,000 cases per year. And certainly in the first month of this year, the news is also not too bright.
And here's what they thought of the vaccine as a preventive measure, although consultant pediatrician Dr. Zulkifli Ismail also noted the importance of vector control.
The cost of the vaccine will be based on the demand, how many doses the country will require.
Is it just one dose?
No, it's a 3-dose vaccine.
Okay.
How many people are going to be vaccinated, and whether there's a commitment of using it over 3 to 5 years. If the order is huge enough, the cost will come down. In the Philippines, they are going to offer 1 million children free vaccination in 3 hotspots. And I was told through negotiation that the cost would be less than 300 ringgit for the 3 doses. So I think based on what Zul mentioned, it is affordable. The other issue is that the price of the vaccine, according to the company, they are not going to try and recover the cost of the development of the vaccine over a short period of time. In a way, they say that this is a social responsibility. They see the need for this vaccine in many developing countries. They've developed the vaccine and they want to use the vaccine and try to recover the cost over a much longer period, longer than most other vaccines.
So would you then suggest, if it is introduced in Malaysia, that everybody gets vaccinated, or, you know, just target the children first?
No. Even the manufacturer saying that it's from 9 years old to 45, rather than vaccinating everybody. So for the time being, I think if we can select certain hotspots and the ministry go in there and vaccinate those people, I think the children, I think that would be fine.
Are you saying the older people are going to lose out then?
Well, I mean, they can, if they can afford it. The private can purchase once the vaccine is licensed. We are now saying that it's a two-phase. One is to get the vaccine licensed, and then secondly is the usage. So the usage could be later, depending on whether the government can afford it. But at least get it licensed so that the private sector, if they should want to use it, can have it.
But the trials weren't carried out amongst older people.
The trials were carried out up to a certain age group, not up to 18. But there were also some cases where the immunization was done, although it was not in those two papers, in adults, older adults, and shown to be effective.
Okay. Your thoughts, Dr. Zul, and would you have a message for us?
I think the message has already been given by Prof. Lam and Dr. Milton earlier on. We don't really have to wait for the perfect vaccine. But having said that, we can't stop the vector control. You know, we've talked about vector control, and the vector control has been going on for the past 4 decades or so. And we have not seen a decrease in incidence of dengue, and neither have we seen a decrease in the vector, in the Aedes mosquito. So obviously you need something else to put into the equation so that you can try and reduce the disease. But vector control has to continue as it is. And I think I agree with the other two earlier on that we don't have to wait for the perfect vaccine. We should use what we have and we monitor it on the ground.
It is the conversion of knowledge into behavior, according to our minister, which also needs to come into play.
Yeah. I would just like to just reinforce what Dr. Zulkifli mentioned with regards to the vaccine. The vaccine, dengue vaccine, is an additional tool to fight against dengue, which means that vector control must go on. You must remember the Aedes aegypti is a carrier of not only dengue virus, but also chikungunya
and Zika. Yeah.
Therefore, we cannot just afford not to do anything to reduce the mosquito population just because we have got a dengue vaccine. So this is just an additional, as I said, an additional tool in the integrated approach to fight against dengue.
That's one hell of a rascal mosquito, isn't it?
The dengue vaccine is a potential game changer. So I just wonder what is happening to the Malaysia bully spirit.
We're taking a look at the headlines of the year. This episode is dedicated to Zika and dengue, two of the headlines that have really captured our public imagination and our concerns. Up next, we find out more about Zika, the new kid in town who's kind of the old kid in town. You are listening today to Health and Living on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living on the Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. With me in the studio, Health and Living producer Tina Camellia. We're looking at the shows that we've done all the way back to the start of the year. And today we're focused on Zika and dengue. So earlier we spoke about the dengue vaccine.
Fast forward to September, Zika arrived. How do we feel about it? Were we ready? What challenges would the virus bring to health system already struggling with dengue? Consultant pediatrician Dr. Amar Singh weighed in.
Oh, I think the challenges are to parents more than to us. I think for us, it's going to be, for the obstetricians, it's going to be a lot of panicked parents saying, hey, I think I've got Zika. And then if a test confirms that the mother who's pregnant has got Zika, then they'll ask, is my child damaged? So that will require a good detailed scan of the unborn child, especially a scan of the brain. And then will come this critical ethical issue, should I have a termination or should I carry my baby to term? Huh? And of course, it depends when you got infected. The earlier you got infected, the more likely to get damaged to the brain. And if you find out too late, then it's very difficult to do a termination because the baby will be born alive when you do a termination. Huh? So I think those kind of issues are going to be grappled with right now, and it's going to be a learning curve for all of us. For the pediatrician, I think the problem will be for us to, you know, handle all the children with microcephaly if such an epidemic occurs in our country. And I have managed children with microcephaly over the years, and, you know, the severe microcephaly that we're seeing from Brazil and other countries is very, very severe. These are children who are going to be lifelong dependent, severely intellectually disabled, you know, not going to be going, have difficulty going to school, difficulty talking, maybe have vision and hearing problems. So that's going to be enormous burden for parents, I think.
Are we prepared or capable to cater to their needs?
Well, I think that it's going to be the existing disability services that we have. But I worry in an epidemic environment, you know, what the volume is just going to be. So far, I think we've got to keep an open mind and keep seeing the data. Some studies from Brazil show up to 29% of mothers who infected with Zika have babies with brain damage. But other studies in other countries show only 1%. So we don't really know what percentage of mothers are going to get babies with brain damage who have Zika infection. So if the problem is large, then I think it's going to overwhelm our services. Already our existing services for children with disability are not that well established in the country. Yeah? And so these are going to put a strain on that.
The question here also is it all bad news?
Well, I think that this is a blessing and a curse, in my opinion. I mean, we don't need another viral outbreak. We've had enough, but this is going to be the state of the world. I think, you know, increasingly as we damage our environments, we're going to see more and more viral agents released from animal vectors. In this case, you know, from a monkey to man again. So I think we're going to see more and more viral agents coming our way. In that sense, it's a curse and we're not prepared. We're not immune. We're going to get large infections. But in terms of a blessing, I think that the population has woken up to Zika being a problem. I think people are starting to take efforts to minimize mosquito breeding, and that itself might bring a blessing to dengue. We've never really managed dengue because dengue cannot really be managed by the public health team or the health department. It's got to be cooperation by the public to reduce breeding sites. So I think that there is some prospects that you know, this Zika epidemic may help reduce the dengue epidemic. Having said that, it's going to spread. It's going to spread in many countries. My hope is that we can mute the epidemic enough to reduce the burden of children who are born with disability.
What is your view on our vector control policy?
I think the vector control people work very hard. I'm in touch with them, and I think they're exhausted right now. They're exhausted from years of trying to battle dengue and not getting on top of it. And they don't get on top of it because of the sheer volume of the vector itself. Huh? So I think they are working flat out now. I think most of them been meeting, planning, taking action. But we need the average Malaysian to come on board. I think if you look at what's happened in Cuba, I don't know whether you've been reading what's happened in Cuba. Cuba has got enormous success with Zika. That's because the entire government has come behind it. The army has been mobilized, you know, large volumes of mosquito reduction activities have taken place with the army spearheading it, with the government leading it, the politicians behind it, the people supporting it. I think we need that kind of groundswell in our country. Right now, there's still, Ministry of Health should do something about it. That kind of attitude from our public, rather than taking responsibility for this infection as well. I also think our political leaders should play a stronger role instead of pushing it to other individuals.
What about developments from the medical front? Will we see a cure or a vaccine?
Yeah, I think that's already in place. I think there's one vaccine candidate being tested right now. But remember what I said about dengue vaccine. Potentiating Zika. I think if we want to produce a vaccine, we should produce a vaccine that contains both viruses, dengue and Zika. I think that's going to be the most successful vaccine. And then some people are already thinking about that and going ahead with that. But any vaccine will take time. You need to do studies, make sure the vaccine is safe, doesn't harm people. I think you're usually looking for maybe 2 to 3 year time lapse. During that period, I can imagine Zika having one large spread in any country, including ours.
And his advice to protect ourselves and prevent the spread of mosquito-borne diseases.
I think everybody knows what we can do. The problem is it seems very basic and limited, isn't it? We need to reduce mosquitoes. We need to prevent mosquitoes from biting us. I think the first is better than the second. And so that means putting screens in our home. I think very hard to sleep under a mosquito net for most of us. So I think putting up screens in your house and making your house mosquito-free, you know, maybe using insect repellents if you're going out. But again, you've got to use safe ones, ones that don't damage children and a pregnant mother. But I think mosquito reduction is the key. And that's not easy to do. It requires, Aedes breeds in clear water. So it's got to be urban-based. So it's water that collects in containers, in our homes, around our homes. So I think we've got to be a bit more aggressive and maybe even militant about it. Maybe, you know, activate our neighborhoods, see whether any of our neighbors are not, you know, taking responsibility for this, because a neighbor next door is breeding mosquitoes is going to impact you right now. And then maybe, so our homes, our neighborhoods, and maybe our cities as a whole, if you see rubbish lying around, just pick it up straight away. Most of us are kind of like, you know, tirapa about rubbish in our cities. I think that's the way to go, and then work with the public health people. They come to inspect our home, be open for our homes to be inspected, because they can help us reduce, you know, Aedes in our community. You know, I want to say that, you know, we also need to think about whether this virus is going to do any damage to young children. I think we need to see our entire discussion here is a discussion in evolution. More and more data is becoming available. They've done some studies in adult mice showing that injecting the adult mice with Zika virus damages some parts of the brain. And so we now can see damage in unborn children, but can it damage young children whose brains are also evolving? We do not know this. And I think that's another area that we must be concerned about, because unlike adult brains, which are largely static, young brains are developing, and I think we're worried about that. Huh? I think that we also must look at the data hard and repeatedly. There's one study recently showing that the Aedes mosquito can transmit the virus to its eggs. That's not something I've seen before. What happened is that researchers infected Aedes mosquitoes with the Zika virus, and they found that a small proportion of the eggs had the Zika virus in their eggs. So getting rid of adult mosquitoes may not be the solution alone. It means that the virus can continue inside a mosquito. And so getting rid of eggs is equally important. So what I'm saying here is that the general public need to keep abreast of data, read it, don't rumor mong, don't read some Facebook, read actual data, and then use that data to battle this epidemic.
If you missed any part of the shows, or if you're interested in catching up with the episodes that we talked about this week, you can look them up by searching Zika or Dengue on both our website, bfm.my, or I would also encourage you to download our app. It's a good one, and you'll be able to listen to all our shows there as well. So more the rest of this week and next, we'll be taking you right up to the new year. We'll be discussing popular topics in orthopedics, pediatrics, fitness, psychology, and so on. So do join us tomorrow for a look at orthopedics, since we have two resident orthopedic surgeons who frequently come in. You are listening to Health and Living. See you tomorrow, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.